What's up, Colonel Nation? This is Wes Chandler, and we are kicking it with the Colonels. And this is the first episode of the podcast here in 2024. And we are kicking it today with men's basketball. We have Leland Walker, and we have Michael Moreno with us as well. Guys, do you have any New Year's resolutions since we are kind of new into 2024?
Be great.
Be great.
Yes, sir.
Be great. That's an easy one, but kind of hard to follow.
Yeah.
But you can do it. Mm-hmm. Mike, you have any?
I want to – so my own personal one, I started a devotion series this year, a Bible in a year.
Okay.
So obviously it's going to take a lot of discipline to go 366 days, you know, with being a leap year. But I'm excited about it, and I want to show people what it looks like to be impacted through Christ, just as an example. Whether it's one person a day, one person a month, one person a year, whatever it is, if I can help somebody that way. And then – just go out on a bang. You know, we have a huge conference slate ahead of us, but we have a great team. We have the team to do it. So just being, you know, the guy that can wear the hard hat, the guy that can lead, the guy that can do and fill all the gaps. That's kind of been my biggest New Year's resolutions.
That's incredible. So I ran something across the other day. Somebody asked me, said, at what point do you stop saying Happy New Year? I was like, well, probably like the fourth or fifth. What do y'all think?
Probably about a week.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could... if you're out in public, you see people, say you're going through a drive-through somewhere, you're at a restaurant. Like, if somebody says it to me on January 10th, like today,
right?
You know, I've heard it enough by now. But,
right,
you know, yeah. You might see somebody you haven't seen, like, at the school year. My professors, when I see them when school starts on the 17th, I think, 16th, I'll tell them Happy New Year. They'll probably say Happy New Year. Then it's like, I haven't seen them, so I understand it there.
Right. Yeah. But if you're doing it on February 1st, you're probably late. You need to stop.
Let's wait till the next one.
So did you guys have a good holiday? I'm sure you got to spend some time off away from basketball. What did you all do in the holidays?
I had a great time with my family. We had like a Christmas game night, so was a great time with my family. Spent a good time with my family.
Yeah. You cherish those moments now.
Yes, sir. Always.
Yeah, we don't get that time back. I think a lot of us lose sight of that. I'm lucky because I live 40 minutes from home, but it's ironic. This Christmas was the first time that I've spent more than a day overnight at my own house.
That's incredible.
In 2 years, yeah. So I got to spend time with my brother. We stayed up. We played the game for a while. We haven't done that in years. And then just getting to watch movies with my mom, my aunt, my grandparents. We got to eat on Christmas Day, so it was just amazing to be able to have that time with all of us to be together.
Do you all have a favorite holiday?
My birthday.
Because it's all about Leland.
Yeah, no, but I would say Christmas is my best holiday, or Thanksgiving, because I love to eat.
So how do we celebrate Leland's birthday?
To be honest, I really don't do a lot for my birthday. Probably just bring the family over, have a game night too, you know. I just love being around my family. Yeah.
Sounds like you like game nights and do you like trivia?
Yeah. Nah, it's just we play like cup games and stuff like that. It's a lot of stuff that we do on our game night. So
Mike, do you have a favorite holiday?
Yeah, probably Christmas. Just because it's the season of giving. It's a great time to be around family, to be around people. And it puts things in perspective for you. You're allowed to see, you know, a new side of people, people who want to give, people who want to serve, people who want to be, you know, happy. It can be a dark time for some people. So you get to, you know, put your heart in, you know, put your heart out for others and be there for other people just because it allows you to, you know, that's the season where everybody expects it, you know, where, you know, you can do it all year, but Christmas is a season where it's amplified. So you see, you know, sides of people that you wouldn't normally see.
Now, you all love basketball, but does it feel good to get away from the game for a couple of days?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Because it's such a physical – at this level, it's such a physically demanding sport, and it also can be mentally draining too. Mm-hmm. But how did you spend your couple of days off?
Like I said, with my family, I got up and I just moved around a little bit so I didn't get stiff. You know, I'm old. But really just trying to understand that basketball is a privilege more than it is, you know, an obligation. And, you know, getting back in the gym with the guys was a lot more refreshing than it would be because I wasn't dreading it. Even though we had just lost to Alabama pretty bad, but, you know, I was excited to get back in here with everybody because we were refreshed. We had time with our families. We didn't have to think about it as much. So just kind of letting go of that and understanding, like, it's a privilege to play. It's a privilege to be around these guys, privilege to be here. Understanding all that puts things in perspective for you.
Mm-hmm. And no matter what you do, if you do it every single day, you're going to eventually get burned out in the – that was kind of a good reset, I imagine. Okay, so what we're going to do to kind of open up here, we're going to play a little rapid fire. I'm going to say an activity or a thing, and you're going to tell me the first thing that comes into your mind.
All right, Lila, you'll go first in this. Or I'll go first. I'll go first.
Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Snow.
Snow angels.
Christmas.
Christmas. Okay. Food.
Honey buns.
Honey buns.
Okay. McDonald's is the first thing that came to my mind. I don't know why. McDonald's.
Are you a big McDonald's fan?
I just like McDonald's, but it, you know, I had it yesterday for lunch, so it was
okay. So it's fresh on your mind, yeah.
Yeah, McDonald's is good, and the app is
the best. Hey, unpopular opinion here, but the food app at McDonald's has is probably second to none, to be honest.
Little plug there.
Yep.
Roller coasters.
Kings Island.
Kings Island.
Okay. Unanimous.
There we go.
Basketball.
Leland Walker.
Shooting threes.
Mm-hmm. Animals.
Dogs.
Yeah. Dogs, unanimous. Color.
Purple.
Black.
Purple and black, okay. Travel.
Planes,
yeah.
Y'all are getting ready to go on one here pretty soon. Hobbies.
Basketball.
Sleeping.
Emojis.
Hard eyes.
The hard eyes.
The simple smile, no teeth, the little eyes. That's the first thing I think of.
Keeping it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Music.
Rod Wave. Rod Wave is he's a
Rod Wave. Yeah, okay. Yeah. A.W. Hamilton.
Intense.
Well, I thought Coach. So
Coach.
You know.
Yeah, those are very good. So now let's talk a little bit about basketball. You guys are coming off two big conference wins here at home here at Baptist Health Arena. What's the confidence of this team after picking up those two wins?
We got a star on our hands right here, another star in Kozar. I mean, it feels like everybody is a star in their role right now. And, you know, the second game, we didn't shoot it as well. You know, we shot it great against Lipscomb, better than we have in, you know, the past because we were getting open shots, open looks, but guys came out ready to go. And, you know, Lipscomb, we were able to expose them a little bit defensively and get great shots for each other. But we did it both games on the defensive end. We guarded really well. We, you know, and that's without Coz blocking four or five shots a game like he has been, you know. So we've been able to do it really well on the defensive end, force teams into tough contested shots. And we're guarding for full possessions. And we're starting to get things out of our press again. I feel like at first we were kind of disconnected, you know, whether it was front line, back line, or whether it was, you know, when to go on traps, when not to go. Even though we've been together as a group, it's still a feel thing because it's a guessing game. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to bait people better than you can just throw everything at them. Mm-hmm. So I think for us, we were able to realize that we can do it on both ends, and we can beat teams on both ends, dominate on both ends, and do things the right way on both ends rather than giving up one for another.
For sure. Before you answer, Leland, you're a star, too. You left yourself out, but you're a star, too.
Thank you.
And, Leland, what's your confidence going in coming off those two wins?
We're very confident, but, like, it was just us on the defensive end. Like mm-hmm. Mike said, like, we just had to pick up the defensive end. If we pick up the defensive end, the offense is going to come. Like, when Mike started off hitting the two crazy wild threes, yeah, that just make us want to – that just brings energy into us and make us want to play defense. So, mm-hmm. yeah. That's
for
really it.
For most freshmen and coming in, usually the defense is the last thing that comes along. Mm-hmm. How would you say the defense for maybe yourself or for the team is coming along right now? Because it looks like it's improving.
Yeah, for me, I would say the defense, you have to play defense because mm-hmm. playing defense will get you on the floor more. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you have to, like, that was a big thing with me last year. Like, I was kind of, like, lackadaisical on the defensive end, but I knew, like, I have a bigger role now. I'm going to play more, so I have to pick up on the defensive end. Mm-hmm.
So, like, to second that, you know, where he said as a freshman coming in, we both came in as freshmen understanding, like you said, defense comes last because you're the speed of the game.
Right.
You're trying to get it to slow down, but a lot of times guys that are as gifted as Leland, things slow down the offensive end first naturally mm-hmm. because he just – that's what he does. But Leland had a great example in front of him, Cooper Robb. Somebody that could really guard, somebody that took pride in shutting down people and really getting after you on defense. So seeing that shows Leland, okay, this is what I got to do. I know I can score, but how can I expand my game? And being a senior leader now, like, I understand, like, wearing the hat means I got to sit on guard on the defensive end because somebody's got to dictate the energy down there. We can't just leave it all on Coz or on Tayshaun, you know, or our defensive anchors right there. We can't leave it all on them to dictate our energy. Everybody's got to do it. So if we can all bring it there, that's the biggest thing. And if one leads, everybody follows mm-hmm. in situations like this because we work so hard here. One leads, everybody follows.
And, Mike, you kind of touched on it a little bit. In the game against Lipscomb, you hit all those threes. You hit 11 of them. And then against Austin Peay, you only hit two. What does it say about this team that you're able to win those games in multiple ways?
Like we were saying, just defense. Yeah. Being able to pick up teams and take them out of rhythm. You know, teams like Lipscomb and Austin Peay, they've been getting things comfortable. They've been getting their rhythm early, and we try to take them out of their rhythm early, and that was good for us because it allows us to be the aggressor. Because the way to win in college basketball is you have to be the aggressor. If you can throw that first punch and hang on from there, then you're good. But if you're working out of a deficit, most teams are going to struggle that way. It's not a very successful way to do things. You don't want to do that. You can, and you can be capable, but you got to be the aggressor early on. So if you can take teams out of rhythm and establish yourself early, then it allows you a lot more opportunity to, you know, compete at a more comfortable speed.
Yeah. Leland, you want to add anything?
No, I'm good.
So this team, the majority of this team returns from last year. How big is it that this team has been through ASUN play before, do you think? You kind of know what to expect.
Yeah. For my first year, I didn't really know what to expect, but now I know what to expect going into ASUN play. Like, you got to take every game serious, come out, attack hard. So, because we're trying to do something big this year. Mm-hmm. We're not just playing to be playing.
Like, the rosters are going to change, but, you know, the foundation is still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Us having, you know, a major, honestly, 80% of our scoring back, yeah. You know, so a major part of our core coming back. And then adding Colin, who's played in the ASUN, guys understand that, you know, we go through scouts, we look at, you know, personnel reports, and you look at teams' records, and everybody in the ASUN is sitting, you know, you look, there's a few teams above 500 right now coming out of non-conference because we play against those high major teams, and, you know, we're not going to get a favorable whistle on the road, but we're not expected to win those games all the time. You know, we go out and we compete, but that's just how it works. So a team that comes in at 5-10 or whatever, then their record really doesn't mean much. You know, you got to look at the ASUN record, right. The ASUN statistics, because this is what teams are built to compete in. We're not building ourselves to beat Kentucky on a nightly basis. You know, we're building to beat the teams in our conference so that we're ready when it comes time to play those teams in the NCAA tournament. We're ready to compete and beat them.
Right. What did you all learn about this team in the non-conference?
I learned that we all really love each other because we all stayed together and everybody was positive through everything that happened to us. So, yeah.
And that's huge.
Yeah, like Leland said, I think we're a family, first and foremost, and guys understand that we're hard on each other. And, you know, when things go wrong, I said this on the radio the other night, when things go wrong, people look to point the finger a lot. There wasn't much finger pointing. You know, everybody had an idea, and we sat down and had a players-only meeting about it, and guys were able to talk about it. But understanding that it didn't come out till then, guys were hard on each other, guys butted heads. We still went out, we competed every day, and we still joked and laughed, just like always, you know. And having guys that can, you know, put the losing aside and understand that at the end of the day, we still love each other, we're still a family, that allows us to build every day, rather than sitting sulking our sorrows just because we're losing, because we went through a lot in non-conference. Right. So understanding that we still care about each other enough to compete for the guy next to you is huge.
And at the core of it, it's really big, because Leland, you want what's best for Mike. Mike wants what's best for Leland, right. And it just carries over from there. What does it mean to you personally to put on an EKU uniform on game day?
Me personally, it means a lot because I come from a lot, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And just being able to be here today, it means a lot. And put on a jersey for EKU, play college basketball, it just means a lot. Like, I think I'm the first player in my family to ever play college basketball, make it this far. Mm-hmm. So that's just a big accomplishment for me.
For sure.
And for me, I'm from Kentucky, grew up in Kentucky my whole life. Having the opportunity to play 40 minutes from home is huge for a guy who grew up in the same town as me. I get to play in front of my family. And then playing at EKU, I've turned this into a home. You know, this place is home for me. I love it here. And putting EKU on my chest has meant more and more every game. And knowing that I have limited opportunities left to do it. You know, it's my final year, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And this is a great place, and I'm very, very fortunate that coach took a chance on me, stuck with me, even everything I've been through in high school and through college. So we've been through a lot, and he still stuck it out with me. So
there's thousands of kids all over the world that would love to play at a Division I level, and it's certainly a realistic possibility that you all are living in right now. So we're in the locker room right now. Just outside there is that court there at Baptist Health Arena. What's it like to play here at Baptist Health Arena when the crowd gets into it? Does that energize you all a little bit?
Yeah, it energizes us a lot. Our fans, I love the fans. Like, they be loud and a lot. So you see Mike standing in the middle of the court just going like this.
I noticed
just,
they tend to respond well to Mike.
Yeah, yeah. It just gives you an extra boost of energy.
It's unique. I don't know if the actual stat on it, but like the wooden ceiling is beautiful. If you look at the arena itself, it's beautiful in here. But the acoustics of the building, you know, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 in here feels like 7,000, 8,000. Like, there's been times in here that this has been louder than any other gym I've ever played in or been in for anything. And I've been in sold-out arenas in high school sitting watching Kentucky and Kansas in Rupp Arena, and I feel like our arena is way louder when we really get going. And being out there is so unique. I'll have memories forever of this place. You know, just the just the experiences we've had in here, especially last season. I mean, it was amazing being able to see that. But of course, all my 5 years, we've had experiences every year where the crowd just, you know, we feed off of that, and honestly, it can really juice us up even when things aren't going our way.
Hopefully, there's more to come this year.
Absolutely,
sir.
What do you all see your roles on this team?
My role, I feel like score, score, be a leader, and pick up on the defensive end instead of just worrying about scoring the ball.
I think my role is to lead and look out for others. Obviously, knock down shots when my number's called, rebound the ball, be an anchor on the defensive end, be a voice on the defensive end, but just make sure that guys are, you know, comfortable, guys are believing in themselves, because it's a lot easier to believe in yourself when somebody else believes in you too. So knowing that every guy, and I try to let them all know this at some point in time, but I believe in every single one of the guys on our team from 1 to 16, every single one of the guys. There's a reason why we're here. God all brought us here for a reason, and God is going to keep us here for a reason. God is putting us in place to do this. So understanding that somebody believes in you, somebody's here for you, and, you know, we're all in this together. So I've got your back always. I try to tell Leland and Tayshaun before every game, like, whatever you got, I got your back. That's what it is. You know, you go out and do your thing. Well, we need you guys to win. We need everybody to win. I got your back.
There's a reason that why this guy's a good leader, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. So when you're playing in high school, most guys and girls that make it to Division I level and play, they are the person on their high school team. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you get to college, that's not necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. Was that a transition for you?
Leland.
Well,
it is for
you're
Leland.
Right. Well, but unless for most people, it's not. But when you're a star like Leland, yes. Was that difficult for – do you think that's difficult for a lot of athletes – in today's game?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say it's kind of difficult for a lot of athletes because I can say me coming in, I was a 4-star, so I'm thinking like I'm just going to come in and play right away. But it wasn't like that. I had to work for my minutes. So, yeah, I would say for the young kids, just work hard and keep going, never give up.
And like I said earlier, everybody is a star in a role here. I feel like that's the first thing you have to learn in college. Like I came into college, and I was one of the higher-rated recruits in EKU history, but I wanted to go to a place where I didn't have to be the guy immediately. I wanted to be able to play off others. Like, my high school team was a perfect situation. Guys always looked for me, but I felt like my teammates were all as valuable as I was regardless, because it takes 5 to win, but anybody can go off when their number's called, and that's a team I wanted to be a part of. So looking in college, I wanted to go somewhere where I could really thrive in a role and learn how to be that, because there's only one LeBron James. There's only one Damian Lillard, Luka Doncic. There's hundreds of Jay Crowders, and there's hundreds. Like, you know, these are just guys you hear that have been to the NBA.
Right.
But understanding that P.J. Tucker, there's guys that thrive in their role so well, and it keeps them afloat. That's how they earn their keep in the NBA. You can't be a superstar every night. Some people can, like I said, but it's harder to be a superstar every night because some people have that gift. Like, Leland's got that gift. You know, Tay-Tay's got that gift. Certain guys have that. Other guys have to understand that, how can I support them best? And there's things that I do really well that I'm sure that they would want to take out of my game, but that's why I'm here. I have a role to do that. That's why I got to embrace that.
And oftentimes those guys that you were mentioning last longer in the league than some of the superstars.
Exactly.
Leland, what would you say is your biggest difference from year one to year two now?
I'd say my role is way bigger than it was last year. So that's really like the biggest thing for me. And I accepted my role, and I took it, and I didn't, like, put myself down. I just stayed up always. So, yeah, I would say my role.
Very good. Then, Michael, you're kind of the heartbeat of this team. Just broke a big record, 3-point record here at EKU not too long ago. Have you had a chance to soak that in? Have you thought about it much?
Honestly,
that'll probably be something
say,
you think about once,
yeah,
once it's over.
Yeah, when it's over, I'll appreciate it a lot more. It was great that, you know, watching the video back, I watched it plenty of times. I hit the shot, and I was really looking at it to see what I, you know, could I have made a better shot, a cleaner shot, whatever it was, just critiquing myself. But seeing my teammates celebrate for me, like, first thing I noticed, Leland threw his hands up.
Yeah.
And to me, that means more, that they wanted it for me too, you know, and that means a lot to me. It means guys have truly learn to love each other when you see that it's genuine. And they huddled around me, they're jumping on me, they're patting on my head. Like, you know, like, that's just love. And they knew it was a tough day for me. Like, that morning, I spoke at my coach's funeral, my high school coach. So it was on a day like that, to break a record like that, it was meant to happen that way. And my teammates saw that and celebrated it. You know, they didn't see it and like, oh, that's a pat on the back. I know he's hurting. Like, they celebrated me like we just won, you know, the ASUN championship. And I know that celebration, you know, when we get there, we want that celebration to be 100 times more. Right. So for me, it's going to sink in when it's all over. I don't think you can really embrace things in the moment properly all the time. It's total side note, but I don't like to take pictures too much. I like to just be there. I don't pull my phone out when I see something special. I like to, you know, watch it happen right in the moment, because you don't get those moments back. You want to savor it. You want to take a picture, remember it, but you don't always get those moments back, so why not live it? You
know? How many people would that be great advice for? Now, Leland, you're from Indianapolis.
Yes, sir.
So if you're telling somebody to have one day there in Indianapolis, what would you tell them? You got to do this. You got to eat here. What would be your itinerary for somebody that's one day in Indianapolis?
I'm really like a low-key guy, so I don't really do much. Okay. But I would say, I really wouldn't know what to tell
you
somebody.
You just kind of live there. You're just kind of in your own thing?
Yeah.
Well, Indy's different, though. Indy's got a lot of facets. You know, there's different small towns on the outside, and even downtown, Indy, there's a lot to do, you know, and people wouldn't expect it because it's a Midwest town. You don't think much of it, but there's a lot in Indy. I spent a lot of time in Indy, and I'm sure there's still so much more unexplored that I haven't seen.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. That's one of the great things about these bigger cities is you can go to several different places and still not experience it all. Mm-hmm. Mike, what was your favorite memory from Scott County?
Oh, man, that's hard. Probably the first region championship we won. That celebration was awesome, and that was something we dreamed about. And then running out in Rupp Arena the first time, you know, your entire city's behind you. We had the night game that day, and it was just awesome. The lights are off, you run out, and all you hear is your whole city behind you cheering. And that's the first time Scott County had been in a few years, and everybody was excited about our group and everything. So getting an opportunity to do that and play for your city in an environment like that is amazing, second to none. There's that one, and then two, probably the state. Even though it's a bittersweet memory, but the state championship my senior year, we all woke up that day knowing it was our last time playing together. Right. So they introduced the whole teams that day, the whole coaching staff, and then they do it by year. So they introduced all the underclassmen, and us seniors are just sitting back there huddled up, and we're all crying because it's like, man, this is such a moment for us. Yeah. Because this is the last moment we get to play together. We're playing together on the last day of the last possible season that we would have together. So what an amazing way to go out. Regardless of what happens, you know, we're brothers forever, and this moment is always going to be ingrained in our heads.
There's nothing like the state tournament. I was fortunate enough to play in three state tournaments when I was in high school. And I'm like, that still to this day gives me goosebumps. Mm-hmm. And was it like that in Indianapolis too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like that.
Yeah.
But I never, like, made it far. Uh-huh. So.
Yeah, it's in their area, in Indianapolis. I mean, one team comes out of Indianapolis in the sectionals on even all four classes. Mm-hmm. So one team coming out. I mean, North Central Sectional is one of the hardest in the state every single year. Mm-hmm. So for you to get out of that, you already feel like you won a state championship.
No
because
doubt.
To win that sectional is crazy. But in Kentucky, with there being one state champ, knowing we get to play in Rupp Arena, and seeing, like, my first year we went, in my second year, Estill County made it.
Yeah.
Shut down the city.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it was awesome. They played right before us, played Corbin my junior season, and seeing the entire section filled with Estill County engineers.
The city takes off.
The city just takes off. Mm-hmm. The entire school system takes off. They're all there. And you can see it in the way the kids play, how hard they're playing, that they wanted to be there their whole life. They may shoot an air ball 5 feet over the rim because they're so nervous. Mm-hmm. But they're out there competing, running, smiling, having fun. And like that's really what you'll remember.
They're out there living their dream.
Exactly.
How would you all describe your basketball journey? If you take me back to when you were youngsters, middle school, you know, maybe even earlier than middle school, how would you describe your basketball journey? Did you always knew basketball was the sport for you, or was you more involved in other things?
I would say my basketball journey is kind of, I wouldn't say crazy, but it was like coming up from middle school to high school, I wasn't like, oh, basketball, this is what I'm going to do. Basketball, like, this is my way out. It clicked to me like my 10th grade year when I knew like I was one of those, like I could do what other basketball players are doing. So, you know, and it was really my uncle. My uncle was the one. He helped me out during basketball. He like told me like, this is what you can do. So I just kept doing it from there. Like my sophomore year, I wasn't thinking about coming to college or doing stuff like that. It was just like, I probably couldn't have told you like five college basketball teams. Mm. So it was just, it wasn't crazy, but it was just like, yeah.
It finally clicked for you.
Yeah.
So I played a lot of sports as a kid. I played soccer first. That was the first thing I was really good at. Then I played baseball. And I have so many vivid memories from back in the day. But I actually took my first steps on a basketball court. My dad was playing at Georgetown College at the time, and I was at one of his games. Mom sent me down, and I walked on the court. And that was my first. That was my first step. So when you say it like that, it sounds kind of romantic that like basketball was going to be for me. But I just enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed playing other sports so much. I got sick in elementary school, stopped playing baseball. Then I started playing football, enjoyed that. Basketball is always kind of there. I ran track at the end of middle school, going into high school, and I threw shot put and discus. And then basketball was just something. I was always the biggest kid. So, you know, when you're big, basketball favors the big.
I know the younger. Feeling.
Yeah, so it allowed me to have the opportunity to feel like I was good, even if I was slow and out of shape and a little chubby kid. You know, like it was exciting for me because I saw results early. Mm-hmm. You know, the smaller kids are always the fast ones. They're the superior ones that can do all the crazy stuff. But I was so big. Right. That I still made an impact. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm big, I can make an impact like this. Fast forward, get to high school, and it started to click for me. At the end of my freshman year, I realized I was, you know, a pretty good player. I started dunking the ball, feeling out of my body. And going into that summer, played AAU, and I transitioned out to playing on perimeter, started shooting the ball more, came back that summer, in high school summer, and I was like, okay, I might have a shot because all the coaches that started popping out to our games in the summer was great. But coming back and seeing the difference that it made for me going into the high school season, like I was putting up 30 a game in the summer that year, shooting threes, posting up, driving people. I mean, I was doing everything. I was like, man, I feel like I feel like LeBron out here. And I know, and I'm nowhere close, you know, but I felt like it because it was like, man, nobody in front of me can do anything with me. Yeah. I just felt like whoever's in front of me is just, you know, I'm going to beat them. So that was kind of my journey. And then getting to college, like my game has evolved. I played around the bucket most of high school. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I still shot the ball, but I was career 35% shooter. And I shot like probably 253s in high school. You know, I've already shot like 800 here, you know, and I've been a more perimeter-based player in college. So my game has evolved so much to understanding how to play all positions, understanding that I got to know what he's doing too to help myself help him.
For sure.
So that's kind of where my journey. I've become more of a thinker rather than a doer. I'm not as athletically gifted as everybody is, but I can think my way through the game and see things that way.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
Joining us on the podcast today are Leland Walker and Michael Moreno here on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast. If you could build an all-time starting five, who would it be?
Of
in basketball greats.
Oh, all right. So we're talking NBA, I hope. Because you can do both levels and it'll be different.
Yep, NBA.
Go ahead, Lee.
I would say Kyrie Irving at the one. This is tough. But did like I could say anybody, okay. Well, I'm gonna take Kyrie up out of there. I'm gonna put Steph Curry in.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna put Bron at the two.
Okay.
Giannis at the three. AD at the four. And then Shaq at the five.
Ooh, that's a team right
Be
there,
a hard
man.
Team to beat.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Mike's your team beating that?
So I'm gonna take LeBron at the one. I'm going to put Mike at the two, Kobe at the three. Have some shooters, man. Actually, take Mike out. Leave Kobe at the two. I'm going to put Larry Bird at the three, KD at the four, and Hakeem at the five. Ooh. Defensively, I can switch everything.
Rim protector.
I got rim protectors. Yep. I got athletes, guys that can run. And not as much ball dominance as normal. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Kobe guy. I love Mike. I love Kobe. But I'm a modern guy. I'm going to take Kobe. You know, I feel like he's a little bit more perimeter-based. So for today's game, it works. All time we're playing depends on the era. It will depend on if I put Mike or Kobe in there. So Bron, Kobe, Larry, KD.
That's pretty good. Pretty solid. Pretty solid on both ends. If you could play any celebrity one-on-one, who would it be?
That's hard. Yeah. I would like to play Quavo because he kind of good.
Yeah.
I was watching a video actually like yesterday of him versus NLE Chopper, and he Quavo is kind of good, and I played in front of him, so I say I would want to play him.
Okay.
Obviously, I would love to play against NBA players. I consider them celebrities. It would be cool to see how I stack up. But so this is funny. Shout out to Mason Cooper. But Dave East, the rapper, because he played in college, played college ball at Towson, and he was a really good player. So I would love to see how it stacks up against somebody in pop culture. Like, he's not necessarily an A-list celebrity, but seeing how it goes, he lived a life just like I did. Now, he grew up way different, but he played college ball like I did. To see, you know, I think that would be really cool to compete against him and just play like that. So
that's a really good one. I like that.
Or Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington would be a good one. I watch He Got Game a lot.
Be a good one.
And I remember Ray Allen talking about how Denzel, they didn't tell him that he was going to play that serious. And Denzel came out, gave the first bucket. He said, "You're not scoring again." Denzel gave him another bucket, kept playing. So, you know, you bring that out of him, that feisty competitor.
Yeah.
Maybe Denzel, but like 30 years ago, because he's like 60 now.
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know,
I don't know if he could take it.
Wouldn't be as entertaining.
Would it be entertaining?
It would be entertaining, yes.
Yeah, but physically demanding for an older person.
A lot different than me.
Yeah. Who was your all's favorite player growing up?
My favorite player growing up was Damian Lillard.
Okay.
I love Damian Lillard. Yeah, he could do everything.
Duke can make some clutch shots.
Yeah, he could do everything.
Yeah, mine was Kobe. And then when Kobe phased out, it shifted to LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
But I like so many players. The kid, Dirk, Kevin Garnett, Jason Kidd, Shaq. I mean, there were so many players that I really enjoyed watching. But looking back, if you were to look at my game now, you would probably think I was like, love to watch Dirk or love to watch Kevin Love or like certain guys like that. But I just appreciated basketball so much that I just enjoy watching the games. You know, I never really had a favorite team. It was always players that I enjoyed to watch on each team. I was a stat junkie when I was a kid. I used to read all the stat books. I could spout off everything as a kid, all the stats, all the averages. I knew who was where on what, you know, scoring list. I always knew that. I was always so interested. You know, the guys will tell you if they ever have a question, they ask me because they know I probably know the answer because I'm full of stats, full of weird facts. So I really enjoyed following all that stuff analytically and just for the basketball part of it.
No, I can relate to that. I'd be like you, and then somebody would ask me a general question, and I would be like, "What? What are you talking about?" But I can spit off these numbers here of this dude who just went for 30 or whatever. So if you could change one rule in basketball, what would it be?
Go ahead, Lee.
It would be the refs being like a part of the floor. You know what I'm saying? Because I think
when you're running.
Yeah, I think it was Alabama, like they had turned the ball over, but the ref was on the floor, so they was able to go pick it back up and run with it. So
yes.
I would say that.
Stay on the sideline.
Yeah.
And then I think, so Europe has a rule where when the ball hits the cylinder, you can just go up and knock it off.
Oh, yeah.
I think having guys like Kozar, John, Mont, dudes that can play around the rim, that, you know, a little more gangly, but they get up there. As soon as the ball gets up, they can just tap the ball if it's rolling around. I think that's a great rule just because it allows dudes, you know, you got to be precise when you shoot the ball. You want to hang it up there for a while or on tip-ins, you know, like if it's rolling up there, Coles can just dunk it back in. He's got such a quick first and second jump. Same with John. Mm-hmm. I think it would add so much. There's so many guys in college basketball that are so athletic. But, like, I think it was awesome. He had, like, 4 goaltends, I think, against us. Like, now that helped us in our favor. But
for sure.
Seeing that, you know, you play as soon as the ball gets up there, you can you can smack the ball right off the rim. And that would be, you know, it would change a lot. But I think it would look cool.
Could you imagine Koza's stats if that were the case?
Yeah, probably 9 offensive rebounds.
National player
seven
of the
blocks.
Year right here.
Yeah, we would have a monster on our hands.
What's y'all's best childhood memory? It can be basketball related or outside.
Mine would be when we were in Vegas and Tayshaun hit like a full court backboard shot for the win, to win a championship. So I played with Jeff Teague, so we got to go over his house after that. So
oh, nice.
Yeah, he had a little crib in Vegas. So, yeah, that was one of the best memories of my teammates.
I think it's awesome that was the memory you thought of. You thought of somebody else. You know, that just tells the type of person Leland is.
Sure.
You know, you think of somebody. Now, we know he said his birthday is his favorite holiday, but everybody likes to be celebrated. Yeah. I just think it's cool that, you know, it's worth mentioning that that's the type of person Leland is.
No doubt.
But for me, I think this could be cheesy, I don't care, but I think it was the day my brother was born. I was so excited to, like, finally be a big brother that, like, I mean, I was glued to the glass when he was put into the, what is it, the NICU or whatever. I don't know exactly what it's called, but
it
that
is.
Little room that they go into, I was just glued to. My dad couldn't look, and I was just like, man, give me, like, I can't wait. I was so excited. And just, you know, watching him grow up now. I mean, it's a dream every day. You know, he's turned into such a great kid, great player. He's far better than I ever could have dreamed of being, and he's 7'1", so it allows me to kind of live vicariously through him. So that's probably the biggest memory for me.
And he's got his choice of schools he wants to go to.
Absolutely.
Have you found yourself in kind of big brother mode saying, this is what I went through? Have you shared any, like, personal advice to him in the recruiting process? I know you want him to do his own thing.
Right.
But have you been able to share any advice for
him? Absolutely. I've been able to really kind of guide him in a way of understanding, like, he always bounces questions off of me. He knows that I got his back. He knows that mom's got his back. But he knows to come to me because I've been through
it.
But, two, he also knows that I'm not going to steer him. I tell him, okay, this is realistic. I'm going to tell you about yourself pertaining to whatever school you want to ask me about right now, because you got to look at that. They're going to show you exactly what you want to see at every school. That's how recruiting works.
Exactly.
But understanding that, are you still thinking about it days later, weeks later? Do you feel like this, like, what happens when you get there and you can't call us?
Right.
What happens when you get there, you can't come home, you know? So I tell him, you know, you want to make the most comfortable decision for yourself. You want to be uncomfortable, of course. You want to get somewhere that's going to challenge you and push you. But you want to be comfortable in your decision, knowing that at the end of the day, when you go to sleep at night, it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks. This is my decision, and I stand on it. I'm excited about it. So just, you know, simple things. Try to keep him level-headed because, you know, like you said, he's got his choice of school. So understanding that, having many opportunities, and with that type of responsibility to make that heavy of a decision, you want to evaluate all your options. You want to understand the risk. You want to understand the pros and cons, and then move from there.
Certainly is a big choice. Who would you say has made the most impact on your basketball career?
I'll say my uncle. He's made the most impact because he's been there from day one. Day one, he's been pushing me from day one. So I would say my uncle for real.
My parents. As far as longevity goes, my parents. Coach Hicks, he had a huge, you know, impact on my life and on my basketball career, especially from the time I was 10 years old. But my parents, they were so integral in raising me because they never told me how good I was. They never told me I was a good player. You know, they always said there was something to work on. They supported me. They cheered the loudest for me, but they were so hard on me just in the point of, you know, you're not where you want to be yet, and you're not there yet. You haven't arrived. There's no satisfaction in winning a medal in the sixth grade. You know, you accomplished your goal, but look long term. Look what you want to do. You know, you want to succeed. So they spent a lot of time telling me that there was always something to work on. There's always room for improvement. So understanding that, but being able to celebrate yourself at the same time. They never let me go unnoticed in saying that I won the championship. I won a game. I played well. But there was always the but after. And then at first, I took it as, man, there's always something, man. I did everything right, man. Yeah. There's always
looking back
something.
At it now, you probably
yeah, like, but looking back now, yeah. I'm like, wow. I know how to celebrate myself. I know. But, you know, like when I got the dunk in the game the other day, I was so excited. I was smiling at my teammates. I was like, you like that? Yeah, we're good. And then I got right in the huddle, and I was like, all right, what's up? And it was just back to reality, you know, because you have to be able to celebrate yourself. You have to understand there's always room for improvement. There's always room for more. You can't be satisfied with what you've done because you're always chasing something. But be thankful for what you've done. Be grateful for what you accomplished because you've worked to get there.
That's great advice. One item on your bucket list that you've not achieved yet?
Say it again.
One item on your bucket list that you've not achieved yet?
I want to go to Europe.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like to travel. But I've been to South America. I've been to Colombia. I'm a Colombian citizen, actually, for people who don't know. I'm a dual citizen, but fun fact of the day. But I've never been to Europe. So my brother beat me there. He went to Italy last summer for a basketball camp. You know, awesome, cool.
Yeah, right.
I want to go to Europe. I want to touch.
I'm sure he rubs that in.
A little bit. Yeah. But, you know, he knows that he's fortunate to have the opportunity. I want to go to Europe.
That's
travel
great.
Europe. Yeah. All everything you can think of, everything you want to see in Europe is what I want to see too. So. Yeah.
Well, I would love to go to the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be your one stop.
Yeah.
How would your teammates describe you? If you think we took a poll of everybody on the team outside of you two, what would you think would be the like genuine term that people would use to, or what you would want your teammates to describe you as?
I would say they would describe me as goofy but hardworking. Yeah.
Very unique. Very unique combo.
Yeah. I would describe Lee as goofy, for sure. But definitely hardworking.
But in his own way.
Yeah, you know he wants it. You know he wants to work, and he enjoys it. Things beat everybody down, but it just seems like Leland keeps pushing, you know. Even like when his knees were bothering him last year, he kept pushing.
Yeah.
Kept pushing, and look where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my teammates would describe me as like I'll use a few words, a grandpa, old man, leader,
right,
shooter, intelligent. Because, like I said, they always come to me when they have a question, whether it's about the plays, where something on campus is, eating spots around here, music, everything. They know I have an answer, probably. But, yeah, leader, supporter, grandpa, old, and intelligent.
Oftentimes, the old guy is the wise guy, though. So he kind of take it with a badge of honor.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it means a lot to me that you think of me that way. So.
We've got this wheel sitting beside Mike right now. We a couple of y'all studied it a couple minutes there before we went on here. So you all want to give it a spin before we wrap things up here? Mike, you want to go first?
I'll go first. Wasn't a great spin, but it's all right.
Best non-basketball sport.
Okay, like I said,
well,
I played a lot of sports as a kid. My teammates saw me play baseball this summer. They know I got an arm. I'm a great fielder. Like Mike Trout in center.
Did you all do a wiffle ball tournament before that?
We played an inter-squad. We drafted teams and played. But I don't know how to choose. I'm semi good at baseball. I was really good as a kid because I had a great arm. Good at football. Mm-hmm. Good at soccer. Not good at golf. I like it, though.
Yeah.
Not good at it, which is probably common for a lot of people.
For sure.
That's probably my best. Not those three. I played all those as a kid, football, soccer, and baseball. And I think I'm still – I could not compete at the college level, but I could still play and have fun today. So.
Yeah, that's great. Leland, you want to give it a spin there?
Go ahead.
Favorite non-domestic animal?
So non-domestic means it's not a house animal. So not a bird, a cat, a dog. So none of those are out. Any animal you've seen in a house. So farm animals could be good or jungle animals.
Oh, okay. I would say a monkey.
A monkey. Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I'd be seeing videos on Instagram about them, and they look real cool. You know.
I would love to just have their ability to leap everywhere.
Oh, I know, yeah.
It'd be incredible. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us here on the podcast. It's been really great to chat with you guys for a little bit. And you all are off to a great start in ASUM play. Keep it up. Thanks so much for the time, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate you.
All right, guys, that is Michael Moreno and Leland Walker here on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast. Thanks so much for tuning us in here on the podcast, whether you're watching or listening as well. We appreciate you for tuning us in as well. Until next time, thanks so much for Kicking It with the Colonels.